I am very happy to be here with the sweetest, most wonderful, loving yoga teacher, writer, Winifred Wilson Mathan, in Ojai. I'm on Maui, and Winifred has this beautiful, beautiful book, which you literally have been in the process of getting this book out for three years, working on it for about 3 years.
It's now about 3 years. Yes,
Yeah.
indeed. And it's so interesting that I ended up here in Ojai because of family circumstances where my designer is. And so I get to actually work with him. We've been doing working through Zoom on the pandemic, and I'm so happy that it's worked out so I get to be with him.
Well, I went to there. No, it is it's meant to be, of course. Your book is going to be brilliant, and you've given your heart and soul to it. And it has to do with yoga, but so much more. It has to do with lifestyle yoga and everything. And when we talked, I think it was an interview, one of the times you came to the radio station to interview, I said, make an audiobook out of it, because it's the thing that's really right now, people are reading audiobooks, and I was just saying to you, it's not difficult once you get the formatting and system down. But here's the thing, is it takes a lot to just figure that part out. And I thought we'd do a lot of screen sharing and I'd kind of walk you through it. But the one most, I'd say 85, 90% of the people use is called ACX. And ACX, I'm going to see if I can find that right here. It's Audacity. I'm going to find the page with Microsoft Word. I think this might be it, but I'm going to home that Audacity Word document. Okay, well, I'll go with this one. And if I can find it here, no, I don't want that.
You're so fancy, Cindy.
Oh no, I've been doing a lot of Zooms actually for my spiritual stuff. This is a file that most people use because it's easy. Now, it's not the most professional, and I know you have professional access to many programs, but most people use Audacity. So I just actually downloaded it. They have it for Windows, Mac, online. Why I decided to go with Audacity here is because most people can use it because they have very clear guidelines to make an audiobook. And once you do that, but that isn't just the only thing. I'm going to stop here for a second and go to my other one. If you go to ACX, and that's the, I think this is it. Let me see if it's Audacity. Yeah, ACX is the one almost everyone uses. Why? Because ACX is, the one that most people can get into. Now it's going back to that one. Stop here. ACX is what people use to get into Audible. So, if you go to acx.com, which I'm at here, and I'm just trying to get it to show it to you, it goes down the whole list of what you need. So, if you go to acx.com, it takes a bit to load it, but we'll go down together what it takes to actually make an audio. That's acceptable. And why ACX is good is because once you go to ACX, you can actually go from there and upload it right to Audible. And when you go to Audible, then you can get it right to Amazon. And so this is an important thing to get down, because they have all kinds of classes. They have all kinds of they have ways you can take their university. Can you see that ACX audio submission requirements now? Are you able to see that on the screen?
Yes,
Okay.
I do.
So we're going to go down each of these, because some of these
Yes.
are easy, some are not so easy. The easy ones that starts with your submitted audiobook must be consistent in overall sound and formatting. And that's really key. And for someone like you, that should not be hard. Basically, once you get a system that you like, whether it's Audacity or Adobe Audition, basically you keep your settings. And whatever those settings are, then you just use them each time and it will be consistent. The only thing that might change if you change your microphone, If you change what you have for a microphone, that could change it. Now, so it's good to get a microphone you like and use, and make sure you have a windscreen on it, and that it's a good sounding microphone that is not omnidirectional. You don't want an omnidirectional mic. You want a mic that's directional, so when you're talking into it, it doesn't get outside sound. The main thing you want when you do an audiobook is not have outside sound. You know, if you have sirens and dogs barking with an omnidirectional mic, you're gonna really get all this excess noise you don't want. And there's lots of good mics. You probably have access to them because of your connections with a good mic, you know, but that does make a difference. A good quality mic is nice, okay? So then you get the settings and you get your mic and you stick with it through the whole book, okay? One thing that first mistake I made and a lot of people make include opening and closing credits. So simple, but literally I did my first book and got rejected because I had not put in my opening and closing credits. So basically you have your book pretty well written. You have to look at each part of your book as something that you record. So if you say dedication in your book, you have to have you have to say dedication and read the dedication. That literally might take you 15 seconds, but that is one file and that has to be listed as dedication and uploaded as dedication. If you have a foreword, you have to say foreword and then you read the foreword, right? The one thing that I didn't do was I didn't do chapters. To me, chapters didn't make any sense at all because in an audiobook, you don't really have the chapters. You could still do that. So, but each, you know, at the end, if you have anything that you wrote, like your website, et cetera, that's closing credits. And you would say closing credits and you'd read your closing credits. I had not, it's such a simple thing, but I hadn't even thought about, you know, reading that title page saying title page and the name of the title. And, you know, that's one file. It's like, well, really? That's literally 5 seconds, but that has to be included. So everything in the book you do into the audio file. And each chapter, each foreword, each everything is a separate file to be uploaded separately. So you get that right? You understand
yes.
that? Okay.
Yes.
So this is important, simple, all must be comprised of either mono or stereo files. So again, once you get those settings, you just stick to those settings and you'll decide in the beginning, what you want for yours, mono or stereo. Include a retail audio sample that is between 1 and 5 minutes long. This is simple, but it's important, okay? You just pick one chapter that you feel really says what your book is about, and you have that as an audio sample. Why is this important? It's important because this is what people listen to when they go to Audible or they go to Amazon. They can listen to that sample and they will oftentimes, just like when you get a book and you want to have a sample reading of the book, this sample will make people decide whether they want your book or not. So let it kind of be a true reflection of what your book is about, right? And it's to contain only one chapter or section per file with section header read aloud. In other words, say chapter 2, you know, on the road or something, whatever, and then read that, okay? Mm-hmm. And it must have a running time no longer than 120 minutes. It scared me at first because my last book I did was 350 pages, but it's meaning here file, okay? So when you say a file, it means no chapter can be longer than 120 minutes, not the book, okay? So you go by chapter and each chapter is a file. So it's very rare that you'd have a chapter that would be longer than 120 minutes. This is an interesting one. Have a room tone at the beginning and the end and be free of extraneous sound. So I didn't even know what that meant in the beginning, okay? I thought maybe they actually wanted a tone, but basically what that is you leave space at the beginning, about 5 seconds. And that gives them an idea of what the extraneous sound is. You know, it must be almost like zero extraneous sound. But at the beginning, and this one, this is strange. This one little thing took me 3 months to get right because I submitted it thinking I had that. And I didn't, and I had to do it over and over and over again. The bitch of it is, if you have all done your recording already and not left a room sound, which should be barely any sound at all, at the beginning and the end, it's a lot harder putting it in after you've recorded the whole thing and trying to put in that same sound or whatever it's, you know, you're never zero sound. There's always some very low level sound, but you can't recreate that. They need to know that same sound that was there when you recorded the book, right? Mm-hmm. So give yourself when you start to, before you say chapter one, give yourself at least like 3 seconds, you know, just a space at the beginning. And when you're through, don't shut it off. Just give yourself again at the end. Give yourself at least 3 seconds, 5 seconds, good too. So that's an important thing. It's a little minor detail that can drive you crazy if you don't do it right. The next one, measure between -23 dB and 18 dB RMS and have 3 dB peak value and maximum of -60 dB noise floor. Okay, this one's a complicated one. It's best if you get an audio engineer, do that first setup for you. When you do a little sample yourself, you want to check that out. This isn't that hard, but it can drive you a little insane if you don't have your settings right. Now, there's most of these things like Audacity, Adobe Audition, have settings where you can actually make sure these settings are at that place where you can get it or you can recreate it. I had to recreate it many times. The part that I didn't like when I recreated it is then you start playing with the quality of your sound. If you start doing normalizing or compressions or, you know, doing things after the fact can mess a little bit with it. So this is best, if you need be, to have an audio engineer set this up for you so that you have those proper settings when you record, you can go back and look at this and see indeed if it is -23 dB and 18 dB RMS. And then you got to look at the peak values. I'll just click on this because this is an important thing, right? Each file must measure between -23 dB and 18 dB RMS. Simply put, all files must fall within a specific volume range. By keeping all the files within this range, not too loud, not too soft, users won't have to constantly adjust the volume of their playback device. Of course, why didn't they just say that? But that's kind of what that's about. Each file must have a peak value no higher than -3 dB. This is what happens, you know, sometimes you can be too hot. And then if you laugh or if you say something which is an exclamation mark, it's easy to go above that peak value. This is where compression can come in, and it can adjust that. But again, that can change the quality of the way the sound is. Some people love compression, some people hate compression. I don't happen to like compression because compression makes your sound, it cuts out the tonal qualities. It's good for some things, but I think your husband and I got in a debate with this about compression one time. Audiophiles that are real audiophiles don't necessarily like compression. Mm. Each file must have a noise floor no higher than 60 dB RMS. Noisy files that contain background sounds and other distractions make it difficult for listeners to focus on the material. So that's the noise floor. Now, almost every audio system has something where you have a click where you can take out extraneous noise. And that probably is, depending on your situation, something you should consider. I took a whole course on this thing and I literally was doing it in this room. And, you know, it's not a studio. I mean, this guy said, okay, get yourself an umbrella, a sun umbrella, and hang over the sun umbrella a sheet or a blanket, and that cuts out a lot of extraneous noise. However, he failed to mention that if it's like 85 degrees out or 83 degrees out, or if you can't get the air conditioner through, it gets awfully hot. And then you have to have a little light inside that sun umbrella to just see what you're doing, you know, because it's dark because you have an umbrella in there. Now they suggest doing that sometimes. If you can get in a studio that doesn't have a lot of extraneous noise, you won't have to deal with that. I mean, that's up to you. I imagine you can get in a studio to record this, can't you?
Put her in the closet.
Put her in the that closet. That's the old trick, Dave.
Dave,
I have done. I did this. There's something. There is a key to that. You laugh, but that is a key. A lot of people actually take a closet full of clothes, make a space in the middle, put your little, you know, your music, like you'd read music on there. You put it there, and then you have your mic, because you know what? When you're facing and you face into the closet, that's an amazing deadening thing, is talking to the closet. So it sounds funny, but you know, I know many sound recording, voice recording people that do just that. They do talk into a closet, but again, you have to have something to hold. I liked, being at my desk, because I had my computer on my desk, my closet's like 6 feet over there. And then I had to have the long mic cords. And if I had to stop something, I'd have to go back to my computer from there to here and stop it, you know. So there are people that do make a little studio in their closet, you know, where you have a little studio for your computer and you have the thing that holds your pages. And because that's something to think about, and they don't even talk about in this here. If you're going to be reading either your book or off your computer, but you're going to be reading, and the sound of a page turning is a noise. You know, you don't think about that, you know, but it is, it creates a page turning, creates, when you're being aware of zero noise disturbance, it's like, oh my God, that page turn. Oh, yeah. So, you know, you have at least, when I had my music rack up, I would use it and I'd have like three pages and I just push them slowly aside when I get through each page. Another thing, you know, you can do is, if it is on the computer, more and more people through Zoom are realizing if it's on your computer, you can scroll slowly down, and that's probably quieter than a page, you know.
Hey, Cindy, hang on one second. I gotta get him
something. So I'm going to keep talking while they're doing this. Each file must be 192 kbps. Or higher, 44.1 KHz MP3, constant bitrate CBR. That's going to throw a lot of people off right there. That sounds very confusing to a lot of people. To a sound engineer, a music person, it wouldn't mean anything. But, you know, if you were just to see this and you were starting out, I have no idea, 192 K. You know, I've been in radio and audio all my life, and I don't know what 192 KBPS or higher. Some people get to this point and they have everything set up and they go, oh, I don't know what to do with this. But, you know, before going on sale in the Audible store, files are encoded in a variety of formats. Customers have option of downloading. That's 192 kbps or higher. Constant bitrate, which is important. MP3 files are required, okay? So that's the MP3, you know, and I have to say, this drove me a little crazy. Because we know if you're an audio file or if you've done any work, you do everything in WAVE, right? Because WAVE is a better file than MP3. Well, I read this and I recorded my whole book, which took me 6 months, in MP3 files because I read this. And then I realized, oh, shoot. I was supposed to really do it in a WAVE file. And then, after I had it in a WAVE file, bring it down to an MP3 file. This does not say this. This does not say this anywhere. I mean, I read all these things and it doesn't say record in WAVE and then download to MP3. It was afterwards when I was talking to an audio engineer, they said, well, you should have recorded this in a WAVE file. I said, but it said MP3. And they said, yeah, but you do it in a WAVE file. And then when you download it from a WAVE file, you make it to an MP3 file. Because you have, right, Dave, right? Yes. And they don't make this clear, you know? And okay, I could have done a WAVE, but the problem with WAVE is, any person will know, you know, you do WAVE files for a CD, you know, that's a lot of gigs, you know? You do WAVE files for a book, oh my God, you know, you better have a huge backup file that's taking this, because, you know, WAVE takes up tons and tons of space. I mean, really eats up your space. So, you know, record it, I would say, in a WAVE, but then if you use Adobe Audition or Audacity, you can then, once you do it in a WAVE, download it in an MP3, Do here's a question I should have done. I didn't. Do you want to keep the WAV files once you've downloaded an MP3? That depends how much backup drive you have, right? I mean, WAV is a better sound than MP3. There's no doubt about it. It's better audio sound. Do people notice, the average person reading an audio book? No, I don't think most people notice. But, you know, if you want to use it for something in the future, you know, where it's seriously, maybe that chapter is going to be the basis of something you do that's important. It'd be nice to have the WAV file, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a question you probably ask your constant audio engineer. Like, okay, should I keep this WAV file? Do I have a backup hard drive that I can put it all on? If you have a, you know, one of those tera gig, how many gigs backup things? I mean, I would keep the WAV file as a backup. Don't worry about keeping it on your computer. I've lost more computers with, there's too much space. What do you say?
Yes, I have you covered, Winifred.
Okay, good. So now you go, you know about that. Okay. All files must be the same channel format, all either mono or stereo. That's obvious. So again, once you set up your file, just keep it that way. If someone else uses your recording system, double check and make sure, because it'll drive you crazy if you've recorded all mono and all of a sudden your computer, you sit down, think it's the same, but it's gone stereo. That's not going to work. You'll be screwed up. You have to have, and you'd have to literally re-record it at that point. Wow. Simple thing, but just worth checking, right? Worth checking twice. Each file no longer than 120 minutes. That's simple. Just, that's no problem. Your chapter is not going to be 120 minutes long. Your submitted audiobook must be narrated by a human. Sounds funny, right? But you know what? I couldn't believe it. Just the other day, Winifred, I got an email saying, for all you radio people, we now have a recorded AI that sounds just like a person, and you don't need to have an audio back announcer any longer. Our AI sound just like people and have all the inflections of people. Like,
oh, really? My gosh.
Honest to God, I read that. Oh, my God. What if we come to? Okay, let's put all our DJs out of work and just have an AI recording everything, right? It's insane. But yes, you have to be a person. Would they know? I don't know. Okay, so we're back now here to video lessons. It's worth taking the time to go through one or two video lessons, right? You probably know the audio terminology, but some people may not. But the video lessons are pretty good and they're pretty easy, and a lot of people have used them, so they're pretty foolproof. We know that all submitted audiobooks must be consistent in sound. Each uploaded file must be free of extraneous sound, must include opening and closing credits. You got that, we covered. Yeah, the sample we covered, okay. And each file must have, we got that, the room tone. Don't worry about that. That's basically just a space before you begin talking in the end. And I think we covered most of these now. Yes, I think we've covered all of that. Now, the hard part is, again, getting to that file. Do you know what audio file are you going to, do you want to ask Dave what audio system you're going to be using to record?
She's going to be in Pro Tools. I'm going to
Okay. Most people don't get to use Pro Tools for their audiobooks. So, yes, that's
she's covered. Don't worry about it.
So, all you have to do once you're in Pro Tools, because I used Adobe Audition, most people use Audacity. Because it's pretty simple and it's free, you know. But if you got Pro Tools, you know, you're doing fine. Just make sure all of these settings are in the right way. And before you get seriously recording, do some samples and do a test on making sure that each of the tests fulfill what you need within this. Okay. So yeah. Typically in the beginning, people using Audacity use normalize, you know, they do that. Sometimes they do the peak level thing that contains making sure your peaks, there's a file in Audacity that actually gives you a check to see if it requires the fulfillment, which actually I think is very handy. And no one else does that besides Audacity, but they actually have a little thing that you can check each thing you recorded and see if it is accepted as you do each chapter, which I wish someone else would do. Maybe they have, but I haven't seen anyone else do it. So I would sometimes take my files I've recorded in Adobe Audition, put it in Audacity, and see if it fulfilled the requirements, because it tells you right there if it's good or not good.
Yeah. So when you, are you saying that Audacity or what, like you record in that, in ACX?
No.
I recorded
ACX. No, he's right. I mean, Audacity is like the worst and the lowest, the cheapest. But the reason I liked Audacity, because of all the places that I had, even if I record in Adobe Audition, it had a certain little system which told you if you are fulfilling and it's if it would be accepted to ACX, to the requirements.
I see. Got it. Okay.
But if you have an audio engineer and they make sure that each thing like that is accepted, you don't need to worry. But for someone starting out, you know, I mean, like, even though, I mean, I had done an audio book before, but I had a sound engineer and going over it all. And boy, I didn't realize till I did it myself how nice it is to have a sound engineer doing all of that. You know, so that's just, you know, most people doing it are starting out and they just use Audacity. Dave is right. It's the worst, but it does have this really nice feature that tells you if what you recorded is acceptable to Audible or not. So, I mean, if you know and you do one sample and you go there and do it and check that, it's fine. I don't think you would have to worry since you know the audio requirements. And as long as you have an audio engineer knowing that you don't have a lot of extraneous sound and that you're not having too high peaks and that it's not too high or too low and it's consistent, that's all in either stereo or mono, you know, you should be fine. Then you go to the whole next level of ACX, which gets really, really tricky again. I mean, I first did my book and just said, okay, you can either give it to them and they keep it all. Basically, they give you a very small percentage. I don't know. It was ridiculously small. To me, it was ridiculously small. But then again, they're getting it out and distributing it, right? So, but what I didn't realize with that one that allowed me to choose the cost of it and to do all that and let them distribute it all, I didn't realize that I couldn't take that they literally own your book. They own your files, because I didn't find this out till I wanted to upload it and make it a CD and put it out on CD Baby. And I realized, no, you cannot do that because you just signed away your right to do that. And they then own it. They don't talk
about
this.
Who's that with? Audible?
ACX. Audible, yeah. ACX goes, and I think they're owned by Audible. I don't know the thing, but there's a deal they have together. So this is why it's important. I went the second time around and I decided to keep my own ownership of it. What I didn't realize is that I then no longer could choose the price. So my book on Amazon for prayers, affirmations, and meditation cost $24. Like, who's going to spend $24 for this book? I was like, oh my God, what did I do? So then what am I going to do? I think I'm going to put it up on CD Baby or some other place and put it out there, you know, where I can control the price better. But will it go out there then? Maybe, or maybe not. You know, I mean, I made a second mistake thinking that I could take this book and actually, you know, compress it enough to make CDs out of it. Do you have any idea how big these files are? You can't get them on one CD. And a CD, you only can get 90 minutes. If you have all of these books, I mean, chapters, believe me, it's longer than 90 minutes. So I thought, well, okay, if it's a double CD, fine. It was going to take something like 7 CDs to put this out as a CD. So then you go to the next step, which is like, okay, that's not going to work. The next step was like, okay, probably can still get it out and put it out as a MP3. So then you can do it with just a download. Okay. So that's mistakes I've learned. That's kind of good to know ahead of time. You still might want to just let them do it, but there's still something in me that gets upset that they own my book and that I don't have the right to do it. But I also don't like the fact that they're charging $24 for my book.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, that sucks, right? So you might look at it. There are other files. There are other people besides ACX. There's two or three other major people, but ACX is and Audible are the biggies. They're the ones everyone knows about. They're the one everyone goes to when they want to get a book. So what do? You know, you have to really look at that. You know, the fact that you know, if someone wants your book, you say it's on Audible and it seems like it's you know, easy, good, big time. So right. That's just something you have to consider. Maybe you do it where it costs more, and then you also figure out then you own it and you can maybe do it still as a CD baby MP3 download, right? And it could take you, if you focus on this now, you probably could do, you know, it's easiest once you get the setup to do it consistently.
Yeah.
Because then your system's the same, the audio, like say you started now in Ojai and then you came back to Maui. Maui, you'd have different sound. You'd have different.
Yeah, no. I'm going to wait till I get back to Ojai. Yeah. Back to Maui anyway. I'm trying to prepare my steps so that I can get there and land and do it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of testing you can do right now and do the research about what the other systems are besides ACX and Audible and what you can do, because there's a lot of people that would like to solve that problem. I can tell you there'd be a lot of people, I'm including me. I haven't figured out the answer to that one because I want to do some more audiobooks. I have 3 other books I'd love to do.
Yeah. But
they're ready to go.
You have the voice for it, and obviously.
It's a setup. It's the setup, the consistency and the time. And literally, when I was doing my my first one about flying, it's you know, how to stop the stress of flying, I did an auto. I did this at 4 in the morning. I would come into the room here so it'd be quiet at 4 in the morning and record till about 5:30. You know what? I didn't even think of birds. When the birds start singing, you can hear the birds outside, right? I mean, who would have guessed? I didn't know. And I'd play it back on, oh my God, there's birds outside, right? But if you've got a studio and set up, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. Super helpful, Cindy. Thank you.
Excited for you. I think it'll be a great one to have out. And how's it looking for getting your book out now?
We're tidying up the last stages of the design, and we're hopefully that will be done in 2 weeks, and then it'll be sent off to the printer, and with the binding and all that, it will likely be in Maui by August.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Exciting. Super exciting. So
by then you could do an audio book release. You could actually have a little book signing party.
Yeah.
You're going to have hard copy books as well as just digital?
I'm going to have hard copy for sure. Yeah. They're beautiful. They're that's what's taking so long. They're hard cover, really beautifully bound. The design in them is really luscious, and it's a beautiful.
You've got your website all set up already, right? You've got your website.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I do.
Can people see pictures of your book yet?
No, I'm changing the front cover. That's like the last, I had it all set, and then I've had second thoughts now that it's all done. I think that I want to tweak the front cover just a little bit because it seems a little too busy to me, you know, because it's just a really elegant, beautiful book. And, you know, the whole design phase has taken such a, has had its own journey that where we started now is, as I said, I feel like it's a little too busy. I want it a little simpler and a little more elegant. So we're taking a last run at that and then we'll be done.
Well, you know, it's interesting, but the book is even the cover is important, not only on your hardcover. And yes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but people do judge books by their cover. And you wouldn't think this, but they even judge their audiobooks by the cover, because you see, even though it's a small little square up on Amazon, it still says something, you know.
Yes. So, yes. So yes.
It's very important to get that cover right. You know what doesn't matter in the long run, which takes probably even more time than the cover? The back cover. Now, if it's a book in a bookstore, the first thing people do in the old days of bookstores, you get a book, you hold it, you look at it. And then the first thing, and I've watched people, they turn around and read the back.
Yes.
On Amazon, they don't care about the back at all. On Audible, there's no back. So, but the cover, yes, you know, is really important.
that was part of the redesign. So I'm doing, you know, the front cover, the back are my endorsements. The left flap is a sort of a summary, book summary, and the right flap is a bio.
Perfect.
Like the classic, the classic layout for that. So, yeah, you know, once that all gets into place, then we'll go to print and go to press on it. And there's some things on it that are special. So it's going to take a while to get through the printing and binding process because
it's expensive.
It is, but it's, you know, but it's lovely, you know.
Well, it is. And it's too bad that you can't. Don't forget the cost of shipping. You know, that's one of the bitches I never considered till my book. And then the people who print it have to ship it to Maui, and books are heavy. So shipping is like, oh my gosh, you know. Unless you want to go actually fly somewhere and get a box or two box loads and bring them back with you, it'd be a lot cheaper than having them ship it. I'm just saying, I sometimes have like $600 in shipping fees on my books.
Yeah, I factored all that in. Because I'm also, you know, at the tail end of it too, it's now that I've had the whole book and the design and what I'm trying to convey to the reader, I don't want to just stuff this book into a plastic bag and ship it. I'm going to, you know, I have a thank you card that goes in, and wow. I'm going to, you know, all the, like, there's a few little details I want to have on it before it, you know, gets sent to the reader. That's why I'm shipping it to me. And that's why I'm, you know, I'm going to sign some of them and, you know, all that type of thing. Some really personal touches, because it's a very personal book at this point.
Oh, wonderful. How exciting. Well, when you get back, let's plan to do another interview. I'd like to talk to you about what it's like in Ojai and catch up with you. It's been too long, my friend.
I know. I miss you so much. I'll see you when we get back. And I'm glad all is well with you.
I'm going to post this so you can have a copy.
Thank you. Great.
Yeah. And we'll do I do an audio and a video of it. So, you know, the basics though. And I think it'll be amazing. And you know what? You could do the audio book and you could probably have it out by, you'll probably have finished by September, October, I would guess.
Oh, that'd be great. That's a perfect addition to the hard copy. So
exactly.
That's awesome. And I have to say, you inspired me to do this, and I came back around on it now that I'm sort of further down the path of this whole dealio. So thank you so much for, you know, really modeling the way of how you do these things.
And another nice thing is, once you do it too, you can submit it to the Grammys in spoken word, you know, with an audio like this, you can record it and then submit it to the Grammys.
Really?
Sure. Yeah, that's spoken word. Yeah, absolutely. Audiobooks are the ones that win most of the things now. Of course, you're going to be up against people like Michelle Obama, you know, Clinton, Oprah Winfrey. Yeah. I mean, I do this. I have 7 CDs that are audio spoken word, and I tell you, you know, but it, you know, at least you get it in there, right?
Yeah. Why not?
Why not? Yeah. Okay. Big hugs and lots of love to you.
Love. Aloha. We miss you. And I'll see you in June. All right. Thank you.